We begin the current daf Masechtas Avin, daf Nun Hey. We begin 11 lines up from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins with a brisa that discusses the topic of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about when we're going to make a tchum, a boundary for a city, we first have to square the city, we have to create the dimensions of the city. So the Gemara quotes from a brisa, and the Gemara will elaborate on this brisa, and it begins with this idea about how do we extend this city. So the brisa begins, Tan Rabban, Ketzin Ma'abin Esa'arim, how do we extend this city? So the Braisa says many different types of cases. If the city is arucha, if it's long, in other words, if it's rectangular, so it's long, then kamashi, then it stays as it is, which Rashi explains, the Gemara will explain what exactly are we talking about. Then the Braisa continues, agula, if the city is round, then oisin lazavius, then we make corners for the city. And that is if, let's say, someone's coming to measure the tchum by the corner of the city, he doesn't measure from the wall from where the city ends. Rather, he adds on a quarter to the city, as some Rashis have a circle that shows a circle, and then surrounding that circle is a square. So basically, the idea is that you make the distance from the wall of the city a quarter more than what the distance of the city is. Because the idea is, as we learned in the previous daf, for all halachas of Shabbos, we have to make corners. Peyus is called corners to whatever dimensions is that we're talking about. So therefore, after that, you go ahead and you make a square around the circle that is the city. Then you measure the tchum from the corners, and therefore, if you're leaving from, for example, from the corner of the city, you gain a quarter more than what you would have had, as the Gemara later on will explain that a square has more than a circle a quarter. So therefore, you're going to have a quarter more than what you would have had. That is if it's a round, if it's a circular city, then you make for it corners. In other words, now we consider the city as if it was square, and therefore you're gaining that whole entire area from the circle up until where the square goes, that you start your tchum from there. Then the braisa continues, mirbas, if the city is square, einois in lazavius, then we don't make for it corners, and the Gemara will explain exactly what is that we're talking about. Of course, it's already square. Then the braisa continues, let's say the city was wide on one side, but it was narrow on the other side. Then we see it as if it's equal. And what that means is, if, for example, someone's coming to measure the tchum to the western part of the city, nearer the corner that's by the southwest. So he doesn't measure from the wall. Rather, he goes out and he measures towards the west until where the point is a corollary by the northwest, where there it sticks out more towards the west, and from there you measure, that's however much it sticks out over there, that's exactly how you're going to measure by the southwest, as some Rashis have that picture, where you see that it juts out more towards the west on the northern part. So similarly, the same thing will be by the southern part, that is where you're going to start measuring from the western part, and same thing by the eastern part, and same thing by the western part. It's all the same thing, that again, if it's going to be sticking out one on one end, even though it's wider on one end and it's narrow on the other one, you're going to measure from where it sticks out the most, and then as we explained, you square off a city, so you're going to measure from where it sticks out the most. Then the Braisa continues, Hayabayas echad yoitzikim in pigum. Let's say it's not like the case we just mentioned where part of the city is like a built-up residential area. It sticks out one part, and therefore the other part of the city you also measure from that area. Rather, there's just one house that's sticking out like a tower. It's coming out from the wall of the city to one of the sides. Or let's say two houses are coming out like two towers, which the Gemara right now assumes, and therefore the Gemara is going to ask, that it's sticking out on the same direction, the same either north or east, it's sticking out two towers. Then we see as if there's a string that's drawn from one end to the other. So let's say you're looking at the northern part and you have one house sticking out like here, like a tower, that's coming out of the wall of the city. You have another one on the other side. So then you measure a string, and that is where you would begin, as the Gemara says, "Moided mimenu lahalon alpayim amas," and then from there on you would measure the 2,000 amas. And therefore, the Gemara will later ask, if one house, we already see, if it sticks out, you make a string accordingly from there, you make a straight line, so why would we have to tell you by two houses that, of course, that you're going to make a straight line? What would be the chiddush? So the Gemara is going to address that question. But right now, what the halacha of the Braisa is telling us is that if you're coming to measure the tchum of the north, and that would be by the northwestern corner, where there is no house sticking out over there. However, you would distance from the wall until the place where you have the parallel, you have the corollary that's sticking out by the northeast, where there it's as if we're saying, as if there's a string that's coming out opposite that, up until the corner that's by the northwest, And from there you measure towards the north 2,000 amas. So some Rashis have that picture where you see there's that city, and you have a pigum that's basically something that's jutting out from by the northeast. So now it's sticking out over here. So therefore, although it's not sticking out that same thing by the northwest, however, since you're going to make a line accordingly, it's as if it's going to be sticking out over there. And only from there will you measure 2,000 amas for the tchum of the city, even though much before that is where the city ends on the western part. But since on the eastern part, it continues further. So for the northern part, we view that whole thing as a line, as if that's where the city ends, and then it's going to be 2,000 amas from there. And now the Braita continues with other geometrical type of dimensions of this city. Let's say the city was made like a bow. And that is, you have this like type of semicircle where there are no houses in that space that's in middle of that horseshoe or the semicircle or this bow. Let's say the city was made like a gam, which Rashi explains is like a Greek gimel that's made like what we would call a chav sofer, an endochav, which is basically like an L type of a shape. Then we view the entire city as if it's filled up with houses and courtyards. And that is, if someone's coming to measure the tchum for the northern part, so then he measures not from the bow part, but rather from what's called the yeser, from the string, as if the whole entire area was surrounded with cities that's within that semicircle. And therefore, someone that's living in the keshes, in the bow part of the city, doesn't start measuring his tchum from when he leaves his home to the north 2,000 amas. Rather, we view the entire city, the whole internal part of that's within that bow, as if up until the yes or up until the string that would be the, so to speak, the string connecting the two top parts of the bow, as if it was entirely like Dalet Amos. And same thing applies to this halacha of the gam, this L shape, this endochav, that if someone's going out from the east to the west, even though there's no houses over there by the west, we view the entire open area as if it's filled up with houses. And so too, if someone's going from the south to the north, and when he leaves his house, that whole open area that's within that L shape is not included from the measurement of the 2,000 amas. As some Rashis have these two pictures that it shows that the keshes, and then you have that open area within, they have that imaginary string. Only from there, even if you're leaving from the center of the bow, it only starts over there by the string. And same thing by the gam. Although that it's like an L, but we draw that the two other lines that complete that into that box, and wherever you're heading from, either from south to north or from the east to the west, it only begins at the end of that imaginary line, and we view it as all filled up. And therefore, the Braita concludes, that you begin your measurement of 2,000 amas from the end of that imaginary line. We view it as if it's all filled up. That was the Braita. Now the Gemara goes in a lengthy discussion to explain all the cases of this Braita. So Amamar, we had said, Arucha, if it's a long city, Kamaishi, then it's exactly as it is. We don't do anything to change it. Which the Gemara's Pshita, it's pretty obvious. What, you would think you're going to make it shorter? Well, what would be the Havamina that we would think to change it? And then the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha, the Aricha Uktina, we're talking about that it's a long but narrow city. That is, on its width, it's very narrow. So Mao, the Tema Litin La Pusya Aurka, or as the Bach is going, is Kaurka, that what would I think to make the width as the length? That is, I would think to widen it from the east to the west until it's exactly a square, because that is the halacha that we had always mentioned. For example, when you have a circular city that you make it into a square, Kamash Mulan, that no, we leave it as it is, because ultimately it has the most important halacha that we need, and that's why when you have a circular city, you square it, is not to create a square, but rather that should have pace. It has to have corners, and therefore here, although it's rectangular, it's long and narrow, but since it has corners, we're going to leave it as it is. Then the Braisa had continued and said, Mirbas, if it's a square city, Enois and Lazabis, we don't make for it corners. Although by a circular we do, but if it's squared already we don't. So the Gemara's Peshit is pretty obvious. Why would I make it squared? It's already squared. So Loit Tzricha, the Miraba, Vole Miraba, Bribu, Oilam. Yes, it's squared, but it's not squared according to the square of the direction of the world. That is, to make its north the north of the world and the south to the south of the world. Rather, it's standing what's called alachsan, as some Rashis have this picture like a diamond shape within the box of the world. So therefore, I would think to say that although it's squared, but the idea is we have to square it according to the dimensions of the world, that direction of where the north actually is, and therefore you would gain that whole area of all those triangles on either side. Kamash will know that no, that since it's already squared, that's the most important thing. It has pace. We're not necessarily going to, although possibly when you have a circular city, that's how you're going to do it, towards the north and of the actual world. However, now that it's already a square, we leave it as it is. And then the Braisa continued, it said, Hoyabayis echad yoitzikim in pigum. If let's say one house was sticking out like a tower, or two houses are sticking out like two towers, so then we said that if it's sticking out, although the whole city is over here, one house sticking out, it extends the city, and now you make a line, a straight line, because we don't have these interesting dimensions. It has to be a perfect square step payas. And therefore we see it continuing out, and same thing if there's two houses. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Hash the bias echad amar. If you said that even if one house is sticking out, we make a line and we continue, and the whole city starts from that line, so shnei batim ebaya, what would I have to say that when there's two houses, what would I gain? That you have one house sticking out, what would two houses, of course, I don't need that second house. It's anyways going to be extended based on that one house sticking out. That the Gemara says, you're right, but loy tzricha mishtei ruches. We're talking about that it's from two different directions. These two batim that are like two pigumen is one to the north and one to the south. And that is ma'ad tema meruach achas. I mean, I would have thought to say that when do we extend the city because of one house sticking out like a tower? That's a one direction. Mishtei ruches loy emrina, but two directions, I wouldn't say that. Kamash mon, that's why I had to tell it to you. Shnei batim mishnei pigumen, even if it's sticking out one side of the city. And then the other side of the city, one house, on either side, it doesn't make a difference. We will extend it on both sides because of that pigumen. That's the chiddush that the Brayas had to tell us. Then the Braiser continued and said, Hoy sasu yikimin keshes. If the city was made like a bow, a kimin gam, or like we said, like this L-shaped bracket, we view the entire open area within that L or that a semicircle as if it's totally filled up with houses and courtyards. And therefore we begin our measurements from the end of that imaginary line, again, either those two lines that fill in the square of the L, or that one line that fills in the bow, that's the string of the bow, that's on, for example, like on a bow and arrow, that string that fills it up, we view that entire area as filled up, and therefore you only begin, no matter where you're leaving from that imaginary string, even if you're going that direction, and you already walked who knows how long from the middle of the bow up until where the string is. So now the Gemara qualifies this halacha. It says it depends. Amar Rav Huna, Ir hasui kekeshes. This that we said regarding a city that's made like a bow, however, if there is between the two tops, and that is basically the length of this, what's called the yeser, of the string, that's from the two tips of that semicircle of the bow, pachas ma'arbas alofam amah. That is only if there's less than 4,000 amas from one corner to the other corner. And therefore, since it's less than 4,000 amas, the tchum of one end is muvla, is, so to speak, swallowed up. It overlaps with the tchum of the other end. And therefore, that's the basis of this halacha, that we view it as one city. And therefore, ma'idin l'minayasa, therefore you measure from the bowstring, as we said. And therefore, we see it as if it's totally filled up with houses, based on this principle. Vimlav, however, if it's not, which means to say, if let's say it's longer, this string from the two tips, more than 4,000 amas, then moedin laminakesha, then this halacha would not be true, then you would measure from the bow. And that is, we would not join them together to be as if it's one city, and we would measure from the bow itself, and therefore everyone from when he leaves the opening of his house, he would have to begin counting his 2,000 amas, and that whole open area of the city that's inside that bow, that doesn't have houses, would be counted from his measurement of his 2,000 amas, and not from that imaginary line that's there by the bowstring. To which the Gemara asks in this halacha of Rav Huna, that it seems that he's saying that we can have a distance of at least up to 4,000 amas, that although it's basically two different cities, but if they're tchumen overlap, then we'll see it as one. But it seems not like that. Amiyomer Rav Huna, did he really tell us this? Rav Huna said elsewhere that it seems that he gave a much, much lower measurement to be able to view these two cities, these two ends, as one. Because he said as follows, regarding the wall of a city that got breached, and that is in the middle of the city, we only see it connected if there's 141 and a third amas, and that is if the width of this breach, that is, as some Rashis have the picture that you see a regular city, then you see a breach throughout the wall of the city from one end to the other end. If it's up to 141 amas in the third, which, as the Gemara is going to explain, that's the shear of two karfifis. A karfif is an area that's usually enclosed, but it's an area that's only up to 70 amas and a little bit. Now, if you have that across the length of the entire city, so then we say that we view the two parts of the city as if they're two different cities, but we'll view it to be as one. And that is, if someone's going to leave from one side of the city to go through the other city to go outside on the other side, we don't say that the measurement of the city is included from the counting. However, what we do see is, if it was more than 141 and the third amas, we would view the two sides as separate, as two different cities. And then it would be counted, you would start counting from where the breach is, not from the other side of the city. Now, that is much less, obviously, than 4,000 amas. How is this different than the case of what Rav Huna was telling us, that he said that regarding this bow, that if it's within 4,000 amas, then we'll see it's connected. Yet here, where we have the same type of idea, where you have it connected, but it's breached, that it says only up to 141 and a third, and that measurement is taken from the idea of two karfifis, that a karfif is 70 and a fraction, and plus each one gets that 70 and a fraction, so therefore if they're going to extend that much, and it's within that overlap, then we'll see it as one city. Why? He should allow up to 4,000 amish, just like he lets by the bow. To which the Gemara answers, Amar Abar Uli says, Loi kasha, it's not a difficulty, the cases are very different. Because Kan Beruach Achas, here it's talking about that the breach, the separation was only on one side. And that is regarding the case that we were talking about in our Gemara, about a city that's made like a keshes, like a bow. It's only separated from the other side, only on one side, because it's connected by the bow on the other side. So therefore, there we allow up to 4,000 amas. But Kan over here, regarding the wall of the city that was breached, that's Mishtei Ruches. There it's from two sides, as the terminology which says zu keneged zu, one opposite the other, and therefore we view it as two cities. And it's talking about, as Rashi explains, where the it's not that the walls of the city were breached only, it's talking about the whole area within those, the breach of the two sides of the walls, that it was all totally wiped out, and therefore it's a total breach. And therefore, since it's breached zu keneged zu, both throughout something that devastated that area, that's up until 141 and the third, because it's totally separate. But here we have it's connected at least on one side, so therefore we allow up to 4,000 amas. It's not a contradiction with the two opinions of Rav Huna. But now the Gemara asks, based on this, that this was the resolution of what we're talking about, so the Gemara asks, Umay Kamashmon, so what exactly is Rav Huna teaching us? If it's like we just explained regarding the case of Chaymas Isha Nifritza, that it's told about that it's on both sides of the walls, the whole area is devastated, and therefore we view it as two different cities, and if it's within 141 the third, then their kafifas are overlapping, therefore we view it as one city, so what is the Chiddush of Rav Huna? And if you're going to say the Neisen Karfav Lezu Bekarf Lezu, that the Chiddush is to tell us that you get this area of 141 and a third, because each city gets what's called a Karfav, which is an area of 70 and a third, that would be his Chiddush, and that is this idea of two cities that are near one and the other. You give a Karfav of 70 and a fraction to one side, and therefore to the other side, and therefore they become like one city to be joined through these Karfifas, and that makes it into one city, even though there's no buildings in the area between the karfifas, and the karfifas themselves are not surrounded by any walls, but you just have the shear of the karfif. But how could that be the chiddush of what he's saying when he says chomis ir shenifritza? And we're explaining that to mean that it's totally devastated, totally separate, as if two totally different cities, that we give a karfif for each one. But he already said that halacha elsewhere. Then now, like we learn the Mishnah later on, we continue on to Amid Beis. It says over there, Neisten and Karfav Le'ir. The Mishnah over there says that you give a Karfav, the shear of 70 and the fraction, to this city. And that is when you come to measure the tchum of the city, you don't measure right by the end of the city. You leave an area for the ear space of the city of what's called a Karfav of 70 and the fraction, which is like the city, besides the tchum. And after that area of 70 and the fraction, that's where you begin the tchum of the 2,000 amas of Shabbos. That's the opinion of Remeya. On that Mishnah, the Chum say, Lo'i Amru Karfav Ele Ben Shtei Ayaris. We didn't say every city gets this bonus, so to speak, of 70 and a fraction for the ear space that it needs, and therefore only then you begin 2,000 amas. No, only when there is area between two different cities, then we say they need to have that ear space between the two different cities. So then we say their tchum begins when it's 70 and a fraction, and therefore, if the two cities are joined together by their kafifas overlapping, then we'll view it as one big city. On that ve'imah, we said, and this is a machlokes, which the Gemara later on in the parak will explain this machlokes, says Rav Huna Amar, karfif lezu v'karfif lezu. When we said that we only give karfif of the chacham between two cities, is not only that we give one karfif for both cities to then join it as one, but we give each city its own karfif that is not only 70 and a fraction, but we give 141 and a third, and then if those karfifas overlap, we view it as one city. And then that ve'chibah Rav Amar, he says, no, ein leis nele karfif echlet shneim. This is the Chum said, we give only the Karfav between two cities, well, not that now each one gets a Karfav as long as it's between two cities. No, we give one Karfav for the two cities, then if they're within that area of 70 and a fraction, then we view it as one city. So, Al Kapanam, what we see is, the Rav Huna already said this halacha. He said in the explanation of the Chum and later on the Mishnah, that if they're within 141 and a third each city, we view it as one. So therefore, why would you have to say a separate halacha of Chaymas Isha Nifritza, that we view the two sides as connected if it's within 141 and a third, if we already said this halacha? Tereshit Gemara says, Tzricha, we needed to have both halachas. Had we only said over here regarding the case of the Chaimah Seir Shanifritza, when the wall of the city was breached, that then we give these two kafifas. Over there, maybe you could say Rav Huna said it, that you get each one gets a kafif, and you see it is joined. Mishum dehavaleit sad hetem ikara. Because there was already some type of permission over here that you already had from before, because at one point it was one city from before. So if it was already one city from before, then we could see that's connected if it has this area of these two kafifas. Aval Hasan, but over there, which is the Mishnah later on, when you have just two regular cities that never had a relationship, it was never one city, Emalai, I would say that no. Who said that two kafifas could see it as joined? Here was already one city. Then they got devastated. Then, okay, if it's within that area, then we'll see it as one. But generally, we won't say that. And V'yesh min Hasim, if we only said over there in the Mishnah later on, regarding two regular cities, that there, if they're within two kafifas, we see it as one, Mishum detchikatash mishtayu. Because there, the cities have no room. In other words, two regular cities, it's too tight in one karfif. And therefore, you say you consider each city having its own karfif, because again, the city has its own industrial elements and needs its space around it to put its waste, or whatever it needs to have that open space to be part of the city. Therefore, when the two karfifas are on either side of the city, they join to see it as one big city. However, regarding our case of Al-Hacha, with it was at one point it was one city. And originally, when it was attached, before it got breached, it was all filled up, and there was enough even without this extra area surrounding the city, this extra bonus area of 70 and a fraction. The Loid Chikatash Mishtai, where there is no tightness of space, so to speak, of what to utilize. Emalai, then I would say that no. Here also, we're not going to give any extra aver for the Tashmishin, for the utility of this city. And that was what the Chiddush is, that no, that you do give, you're going to give even here, each side is going to get its own cover of Tzricha, that's why you need to have both halachas, not only over there, where there are two separate cities, and the city needs its space around it. And therefore, both cities get their own karfif, and if they're overlapping within this area of 140, 103, we'll see it is connected. Even over here, where it was at one point, it was the same city. We didn't need this extra area. We had a round on the other side, because no matter how big the city is, you don't give more than that. This was inside the city. Yet in spite of that, now that it is breached, we will give each one the separate karfif, and that was the chiddush that we had to say. Now the Gemara gives another qualification for this halacha, of the halacha of keshes, that we view it as all filled up, and you only begin by the bowstring. Bekama hava. Now, how much can be the open ear space between the bowstring and the bow? That is, again, as we had just qualified in the Gemara in Amud Aleph, that we said we measure from this yeser, from the bowstring, when there's less than 4,000 amas between the two tops, so we see it as the tchumen of one top of the semicircle overlapping with the other one. Now, how much can be, that was on that side, but how much can be from the bow all the way to the bowstring? And now we have a machlekes. Rabbi Barav Huna Amar, Alpayim Amar. It has to be no more than 2,000 Amas. But if it's more than 2,000 Amas, now since once you leave your house, you're going an entire tchum from the bow, where you are by the center of the bow, before you even reach the bowstring, so then we're not going to measure from that yeser from the bowstring. Rather, it's your tchum is up before you even get there. Rava Bered de Rabbi Barav Huna Amar, he argues, and he says, Afila yesem Alpayim Amar, even if it's more than 2,000 Amas, the halacha will still retain that as long as if it's within 4,000 amas from the tips, that you will begin your tchum even from the bowstring, even if it's more than 2,000 amas from where you're starting. And Amar Baya, Kavaseh de Rava Berei, de Rabbi Barav Huna Mistabi, makes more sense like that opinion that we just mentioned, that it's even more than 2,000 amas. And what's the svara? De Bayi, because if the one that's leaving now, he's walking out of the tchum, he wants to go up to where his tchum allows him. If he's leaving, Hadar Asi, if he wants to, he can go around to get to the yeser, to the bowstring, derech batim, through the houses. And that is, he can go around the keshes, around the bow. He can get up until the top of, to the tip of one of the edges of the bow. And from there, he can go to the other side, because they're within their tchumen are overlapping each other. They're within 4,000 amas, and therefore we said they're considered as one. Now, since he can get to the yeser, to the bowstring, in a way of heter, of permissibility, because he can go the permissible way when they're connected, so then we're not going to make it forbidden for him, even through the length of the open part, to say that it's considered like two different cities. And rather, we will view it as if it's filled up with houses and courtyards, and that's why he said it makes more sense like the second opinion, that although you're really going a full tchum before you even get there, but we're going to see it as closed because you're essentially enclosed in this area, because it is considered closed, because since you can go through the keshes part and get to the string without your tchum even beginning, so therefore we allow you to even walk the straight and direct way, and you can still walk another 2,000 amas from that bowstring. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said regarding the Ibur Ha'ir, the extension of the city, regarding when we're creating the dimension of the city, and then from there to begin your Tumah of 2,000 Amos, it said, Ha'yisham gedudiyas gevayas asar tfachim v'chulu, that if there are these gedudiyas that are 10 tfachim high, they also extend the city, and then we create that square around that. To which the Gemara asks, my gedudiyas, what are gedudiyas? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Sholish Mechitzes She'en Alein Tikra. It's something that has three walls, but it doesn't have a roof. In other words, it's something that was a building, but it broke down. And as Rashi explained, definitely if it had a roof from one to the other, then of course it would be considered a full-fledged dira and it would extend the city. But even if it doesn't have a roof, as long as it has three walls, this ruin will extend the city. And that the Gemara asked Ibailu. They asked the following question. Shtei mechitzes, let's say there's only two walls. However, v'yesh alein tikra, but it has a roof, mahu. In other words, we said that it's three walls without a roof, it will extend the city. What's if it only has two walls, but it has a roof? That makes a little bit more some type of a dira. Will that also extend the city? So Tashma, the Gemara attempts to bring a raya. We said, elu shemes abanima, that these are the things that extend the city. And the Brisa says, nefesh. A nefesh is a type of a building that it would make on top of a grave. And generally, what that building was for on top of the grave was for the shomer, for the protector of the kever. It was made for him, and therefore, though no one dwells there, it's still considered a base deer. It's considered some type of a dwelling, and therefore this could extend the city. Sheyesh pa arba amas al arba amas, as long as it has the dimensions necessary for a base deer, which is 4 amas squared, this will extend. Also, v'hagesher, a bridge, v'hakever, and a grave, this is a beis hakfar, so in other words, a cemetery, sheyesh behen beis dira. If the bridge and the cemetery has a beis dira, has a dwelling there on the premises, these areas will also extend the city. Also, moreover, beis hakneses sheyesh be beis dira l'chazen, regarding a shul that has a dwelling place for the attendant, for the chazen, which really that means the shamish in the shul, and that's because generally a beis hakneses is not made for dwelling. And therefore, if there is no separate compartment, living quarters for the chazen hakneses, that would not be considered dira. So, but in this case, where you have a room for the attendant where he sleeps there in the shul, that will extend the city. And similarly, an idol, a house of idol worship where there is a dwelling place for the priest over there, again, because generally their house of idol worship are not meant for dira. But here we have the dira, it will extend the city. The hovarais and stables, that is the horse stables, the oitris and the storage places which are for produce and for oil and for wine, these things are not diras, they're not dwelling places, that they're shebesadis, they're in the fields, however, the yesh ben beis dira, but they do have a dwelling place, and again, that's why in this case they will extend it. The haburgen shebetoich, and the huts that are there out in the field, the habayis shebeyam, and the house that's by the sea, and that means by the island in the sea, that's if the island is within 70 amas and a fraction within the city, hare elu mesabanima, all these things extend the city. Again, although, and that's the chiddush the Brayis is saying regarding all these things, although generally they on some level they would not be considered dira, however here where they have the proper requisite elements of having a dira element to them, they will extend the city. However, that and this is what the Sefer of the Brisa comes to say. However, these are the similar types of cases which will not extend the city. Nefesh, regarding this building that's on top of the grave, that the walls on either side have been breached, that will not extend the city. And a bridge and a cemetery that does not have a dwelling place for someone there in that area. And the shul, a beis haknesses that does not have a separate quarter, living quarters for the attendant of the shul. And the house of idol worship that does not have living quarters for that priest. And the same thing goes for the horse stables and for the storage places for all the produce and the grain that does not have a beis dira there in that area. Ubar and the cistern, Bashiach and the ditch, Umar and the cave, the gedder and the wall, the shovach and the dovecote, Shebetoicha, that's there in the fields, the habaya Shebesvina, and similarly a house that's on a ship. That is the reason why that will not extend the city is because it's not established, it doesn't have an established place because sometimes it's within 70 and a fraction, and it's not because it's a boathouse and it moves. Ein elu mesabanim, all these cases, although they're similar to the Reisha, these do not extend the city because they don't have the proper requisite to be considered a beis dira. But the idea why we brought this Braisa in, the Gemara says, is Ketani Mias, one thing that we do see is that it said, nefesh nifritza mishtei ruchisa elich ve'elich, regarding this building that's on top of the grave, that the walls on either side were breached, and therefore what you left with are two walls. Now, we said that is not going to extend the city. My love deka tikkur, isn't it make sense that this building that's there to protect the one who's guarding the cemetery from the elements, that there is a roof, and therefore we see that although there's two walls and a roof, it will not extend the city. So that answers our question. Only three walls, even though there's no roof, will extend the city, but two walls, even with the roof, will not extend the city. So the Gemara says, like, no, it's no raya. The leka tikkur, we're talking about that there is no roof, and again, therefore that does not resolve the question, since it only has two walls and no roof. That's why it's not extending the city, but maybe it had two walls and a roof, it would extend the city. Now, once we brought in the Braisa, the Gemara asked some questions on this Braisa. We said, we said that the house that's by the sea, that will extend the city. If it's on some little island that's within 70 and a fraction from the city, to which the Gemara says, Lamai Chazi, what is such a house useful for that it should consider, that should be considered a dira, some type of a residential dwelling area on some level to extend the city? So Amra Papa, Bayis, this house, Sha'as Lefanis by Kalim Shabisvin, it's used to empty out the vessels that's on the ship. It's some type of like a house that's by the port. And therefore, although you're right, no one lives there, but it's considered an extension of the residential area because it's used for these purposes of storing these Kalim, and that's why it's going to extend the city. Another question the Gemara asked on the Bryce is, we said, Uma'ara in Mis Aberesima, that a cave will not extend the city based on that cave. But the Gemara asks, but Tani Reb Chia had taught us a Braisa, Ma'or Misa Beresima, that the cave does extend the city. So how do we resolve the contradiction? Amar Baya, Kishayesh Bin Yalpia, when did we say from Reb Chia that the cave will extend the city? That's if there is a house built right on top of the cave. So then the Gemara asks, if that's how you're resolving the problem, the typically mishum binyan gufe. But then you should say that the city is going to be extended just because of the house that's on top of the cave. In other words, if it has a house, what are you saying that, oh great, the cave is extending the city, even without the cave, just because there's a building on top of it, that will extend the city. And then the Gemara says, Loitzrich, no, it's necessarily talking about that there's a building with a cave, because you're talking about Lahashlam, that is to complete, and that is, if, let's say the building is not fit for dwelling. For example, let's say it doesn't have the requisite area of 4x4 Amis squared, then the cave will help to complete that area of dwelling room, of to make it extended into the area of 4 Amis squared. That's the idea that the Ma'ar will extend the city as long as there's a building on top of it. Together, they will extend the city. And that's why. But the other case, says the Ma'ar is not, is when you have a regular cave, then the cave will not extend the city. Now, regarding this that we mentioned in the Braisa of Borgenin, of huts, the Gemara says that there's certain types of huts that will not extend the city, and even the whole city of huts will not be even considered a city to create this area of Dalet Amos based on the city, as the Gemara explains. I'm Ravuna. Yoishvi Tzrifin, those who dwell in huts, and this is a type of a hut that's made out of branches and willows, and these huts are not established. They're more nomadic tribes, and therefore, even if there's many in one place, enough to go 100 Amos in one direction, it still would not be considered an era city that we would view the entire area as Dalet Amos, which we generally do, as we explained that a city, you have a tchum from the city limits, that's where your 2,000 Amos begins, because you see the whole city as one area of Dalet Amos. But these dwellers of huts, Ein Moedin Lehen El Mipesach B'tein, they don't measure from the end of their city limits, rather they begin their tchum from the entryway of their houses, in other words, every direction that you want to go out to, that's where you begin from. To which the Gemara asks, Masr Rav Chizda asked, it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, says, V'yachnu al Yarden, that the Jewish people, when it's told by the Machne Yisrael, that they dwelled by the Jordan, Mibes HaYishimais, now, this is where their encampment was. Says, I saw that place where it says in the pasuk the dimensions of where the Jewish camp was encamped. It was three parsi squared. V'tanya, we learned the braisa k'shein nifnin, when the Jewish people, when they were there in the midbar, when they had to relieve themselves, a nifnin loylefnam, they would not relieve themselves towards the front way. In other words, when they would leave the clouds, because it wasn't proper to do it where they were in the encampment, which was within the Anania cover, the clouds of glory. So they had to leave that area. They would not go in front of where the clouds of glory were, because maybe that's exactly the direction where the Ananim and the Aran was going to go. So they didn't go in front of where the clouds were. But later today, they didn't go to the sides either, out of the clouds, because they didn't know what direction the clouds were going to go. Maybe it's going to go that direction. Rather, the only place they would go when they had to relieve themselves would be behind the area of the clouds. And there, they know for sure that's not where the clouds are going to go, because they're not going backwards, they're going in some frontal type of a direction. So therefore, as Rashi explains, if somebody that's in front of the whole camp, that's where he was camping, he was on the front lines, and he has to relieve himself, he would go behind three parsi. And the Jews in the desert, what did they dwell in? They dwelt in tents, like it says in the Ahalim, which were not established because they were nomadic. They were constantly up and going wherever they had to go. And yet, in spite of that, someone had to relieve himself. He could go three parsecs, which is way more than the Tchuma on Shabbos, because we view the entire camp as Dalet Amos. And then he can go out up to 2,000 Amos, out to the back of the camp. So how can you say that it's considered these people that live in the Tzrifin, that you only measure from where you leave your house? So how did the people go this entire area, three parsecs, and then some out of the klutz to go relieve themselves? Obviously, even if though you're in huts, we do view it as one big area of Dalet Amos. So I'm like, Rava said to him, Digli Midbar Kamrit, you're asking from the encampment that was there in the desert by the Jewish people? That's not a difficulty, because Kivin the Chsibu, since it says regarding them, as it says the Pasuk about Midbar, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, that by the mouth, by the word of Hashem, they rested. Al Pi Hashem Yisu, and by the mouth of Hashem, then they traveled. Kemandik Kfilu Hudami, it's as if they were established, they were in a set place, although they were constantly moving, but Hashem's presence is what made them a chashuv, a kavur de gemakim, and therefore that's why it was considered as one big area of Dalet Amos. But generally, regularly, a shir tzrifin, where you don't have that element of the Shechina creating this area as a makim kavur, then it would be considered, you'd start beginning your tchum from when you leave your house, and you wouldn't consider this as a city. So Amrav Chinin Dabar Rav Kahana, Amrav Ashi, that if there are three courtyards with two homes opening up into that, and that is, that will create, and these are established areas, again, whether they're made out of brick or made out of wood, that would be what we consider it as an ear, as a city. And then hukfu, then they're going to be established, and that would establish the whole entire area around it. In other words, even if, let's say, the rest are tzrifin, these nomadic tribes, but these are things, borgenin, whatever it is that's extending. We have many things that extend the city, although they're not regular homes. If, let's say, we said it's like a tower, or it has just three walls that's remaining, then as long as we have that, as a Mishnah says later on, Daf Nun Tesamen after, Reb Shimon says what creates a city is three courtyards with each one having two homes open into it. That is what will create a city, and then everyone, doesn't make a difference as long as it has the elements to extend it, is good. But the core creation of the city, to have this idea of making it all as one Dalet Amos, has to have this structure of three chatzeris, three courtyards, with each courtyard having two homes open into it. Now, once we mention this idea of that Yeshi Tzrifin, the Gemara continues on this. It says, Amar Yehuda Mirab, Yeshi Tzrifin, the people that dwell in these huts, and these were people that were, they were shepherds. They would live in one area for 1 month or 2 months until all that, the pasture was used up by the animals, and then they would travel on, and then they would go ahead and establish their home in another place. So these type of people, Vahochem Midbaris, and similarly people that go in the desert, and out in the open, nomadic tribes, and they take their wives with them. So chayein in chayim, their lives are not lives. V'neshein v'nein in shalhen, and their wives and their children are not even them, as the Gemara is going to explain why that is. Tanya Haroche is similar in the Brisa, the similar type of idea. Eliezer ish biroya oimer. It says yesh v'tzirifin ki yesh v'karavim kvarim, that those who dwell in huts is as people that live in cemetery, which basically means that they're like dead people because they have no pleasure out of life. They're subject to all the elements, the wind and the rain and the storms. So therefore, they're like living in a cemetery. But they say, regarding their daughters, it said, as the Pasuk in the Varm says, that cursed is anyone that lays with an animal. And the Gemara asks, my time, why is it that their daughters are considered forbidden as if it's laying with an animal? So the Gemara gives two explanations. Ula says, because these type of encampments, they have no bathhouses. They don't have any infrastructure to the city, and therefore the men have to go very far to go ahead and bathe themselves. Now the women are left alone to any man that wants to do anything illicit with them. And because the city is left without any men protecting it, that's why their daughters are forbidden. They're considered not their own daughters because men were unlawfully did whatever they wanted to their wives. Rabbi Yechon Merichon says a different pshat, says, Nishim Ragishin Zel Azeh Betfila, because they recognize when each one are going to the bathhouse to do the tefillah for the woman after she has her tahara process, because they have no mikvois over there, and therefore the women have to go to immerse themselves in a body of water very far. So therefore she calls a friend to go with her, and the neighbors realize, and they recognize that when these two women are going, and an evil person goes and runs after them, and he's secluded with them, and as the Mishnah Kedushin says, that one man is not allowed to be secluded with two women. The idea being is because then they will both submit to what he's doing, and therefore, again, the wives were submitted to another man, therefore their daughters, their wives are not their wives, and their children not their children, because there is all this illicit types of things going on. to which the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the difference between those two pshatim? Either way, the women are being subject to other unlawful men." Ikemenai, the difference between the two pshatim are nara, when there is a river which is fit for immersion for the tefillah of halachas anida, but it's not fit for men to bathe themselves and clean themselves up. The samach labesa, which is near the home, and therefore the element of the neighbors recognizing that the woman's going for a tefillah is not there because it's very close, and therefore no man can do anything that's going to harm the woman. However, the reason of the bathhouse that the men leave to go very far to go ahead to their merchatzais, that would apply, and therefore according to that pshat, there would still be the idea of that the b'nei sehen would be usher, because we would say that they were subject to the men doing different things improperly to the women. Now similarly, the Gemara says a similar idea regarding where the person makes his home, just like we said over here that these people that have these nomadic lives, their lives are not lives. The Gemara says, "Amrav Huna, kol ir she'im b'yerek, any city that does not have vegetables, in tamachocha mershol lo debar." So a Talmudic scholar is not allowed to live over there, and the reason being is because herbs, vegetables are very good for food, they're very cheap. And therefore, the Talmud Chacham go ahead and be oisik and tired because he has a very cheap lifestyle and a very healthy one in that matter to continue. And therefore, if there's no such thing in that city, he shouldn't live over there. So the Gemara asks, "Lemer de Yerek Ma'al, is that to say that vegetables are good for a person?" But by the time we learn the Braisa, Shloishim Rabin as there are three things that increase a person's excrement. The Kaifin as a Kaima, and it makes a person's posture stoop. And it also takes 1/500th of a person's light of his eye. The Elohim, what are these three things? And we continue on to the top of Nunvav Manav. That's pas kibur, that's coarse bread. The sheikha chadish and new beer. The yarik and vegetables. So you see that these yarokas are not a good thing. So why are we saying that a Talmud Chacham needs to have them as if it's good for him? Nothing much is loikasha. Because this that we said that it's beneficial for the person, and therefore the Talmud Chacham has to live in such a city, that's betumi bekarti. That's the vegetables of garlic and leek. And that is as a Bryce and Baba Kama says that there are five things that said regarding garlic, that it makes a person satiated, and it makes him shine, and increases his seed, and it kills different harmful elements in his intestines. Similarly, regarding leek, the Gemara Brachas says that it's good for the intestines. Therefore, that's what we said he has to live in such an area. Ha, this that we said, it's not beneficial, but shay yarek, that's but other vegetables. Because you tell, like, learn in Braisa that shum, regarding garlic, yarek, that's considered a vegetable. In other words, that's a praiseworthy thing. Kreishin, even leek, that's chatzi yarek, that's also something, that's half of a vegetable. How, and if, near its nine, if you see a radish, near some chaim, you saw the potion of life. That's also a good thing. So therefore, we see the idea that garlic and leek are good, and that's what we meant to Talmud Chacham has to have. But once the Gemara just said, the Gemara asked, is that really true that when you see a radish, that's a potion of life? For a time we learn the Brisa, and near Sam HaMavis. That if you see radish, you see the Sam HaMavis, it's a poison of death, not a potion of life. The Gemara says, Leikasha, Kan Ba'olin, this that we said, that radishes are harmful, it's a Sam HaMavis, that's by the leaves. Kan Bimohis, this that we said, that it's good, that's by the roots of the radishes are good, and therefore that's not a contradiction. Another explanation the Gemara gives is Kan Bimaisa Chama. This is talking about during the summer months. Then the radishes are good because then it cools off the body. Kan Bimaisa Chama. Then when we said it's harsh, it's during the winter months. Then when it makes you even colder, of course, it's going to be harmful. That's not good. Now the Gemara concludes on the same theme about the it's important of where a person dwells. Of Rabbi Huda Marav, called Ir Sheyesh B'Milas Amardis. Any city that has steep inclines and declines. Adam B'Behema Shabbos. So the people and the animals in that city, Mesim Mechatzimim, they die half of their age that they should have lived. So the Gemara says, Mesim Sokadat, do you think it really kills people? The Gemara says, no, Ela'im Mazkinim Mechatzimim, rather they get old because of all the effort, the exertion that goes into walking that city, they get old halfway through their lives. And the Gemara concludes, Amrav Hunabri de Rishua, Hani Mul Yasid, the Beibiru, the Beinarish, these inclines and declines that were there by these two cities, and that between the two of them they had these inclines and declines, that's what Mul Yasid means. Askinan, these are the things that made me old. And that's the idea again, where a person lives is important in all these different things about making him old, and regarding what is the type of produce is sold there, and regarding the elements that are there regarding one's children and regarding one's livelihood.